Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thou dost dwell in light and art enthroned in the heavens, and we have come into this house of prayer to worship and glorify thy name. Lord, may we do so with hearts that are humble before thee, acknowledging that thy wisdom is so far above ours. So may thy word go forth, not the words of men or the thoughts of men, but the thoughts of thy Spirit to our hearts to guide and direct us into truth and right living, even as we have sung together. Bless thy word and be present with us, O Lord, for we need thee. We are depending upon thee and we trust in thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Desire this morning, with the Lord's help, to read from 1 Peter, chapter number 2. Actually, I'd like to begin with chapter 1, the last two verses. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 24 through chapter 2. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Brother mentioned in the prayer these first two verses that we read, which are a sobering reminder that we often need to take to heart, that our lives are so short. And the comparison that we're given in this scripture is of when we walk through the field, or we walk through our lawn, and we see the grass, and now it's growing and it's thriving, but when it's cut down, when it withers away, it's gone. And life is short. Our time here is limited. And so the call of the word that goes out needs to be heeded. And the word teaches us that today is the day to listen to the word, to take its lesson to heart, to let it do its work in our hearts, to change us and to bring us that salvation. Because we cannot rely on our own strength, our own endurance. We rely upon the word of God. The word of God is that which endures forever. In such contrast to the grass that's outside, that today is and that tomorrow is cast into the oven for burning, like it says in another scripture, the word of the Lord endures forever. And Peter continues in chapter 2, speaking of the word of the Lord and the sure foundation that is in Jesus Christ. And mankind has a choice before him, and we have a choice before us. Will the word be the precious foundation, or will it be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense? Will it be that strong foundation upon which we build our life, that which we rely on and that which we set our hope upon? Or will it be something that always trips us up and that always offends us, that we always harden our hearts against and turn away from? Those are polar opposite responses. But in those extremes is illustrated the two destinations for mankind. Oneness with the Lord, leaning upon his word and trusting in his promise that he has given in his word, leading to eternal life. And the other, kicking against the pricks, hardening of the heart, being offended at the word of God and saying, that's not for me and I'm not so bad. And never grasping the need for mercy and grace. from the Lord, and never calling upon him for help and saying, I'm going to do this on my own. And the grass, that picture of the grass, man on his own, quickly fades away. So because of this need to make a decision and to choose between this brief life and its pleasures and its joys and the Word of God, Peter says, wherefore, because of this, lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. Put away those things. Listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ. He's the wisdom that has come from above, and he's pure and he's peaceable. He's good. He's true. All of these things. And embrace him. Embrace him in faith. Embrace him in humility as a child. And he will do a work. It says here that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. What a remarkable difference between man in his strength that is fading away, that is aging, is drying up, and a newborn babe. One that's been made new in Christ Jesus our Lord and has been born from above is described as a newborn babe. One that's been given life. See the babies and the children. They're full of energy. They're full of life. They're full of curiosity. And they're full of trust in their parents. So we are also to be, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Long for the teachings of Jesus Christ. Love what he has said. And have that heart that wants to follow in obedience, because that's good for our souls. That's good for our inner man. It'll help us grow. But as with many things in life, there's not growth without some pain. You know, when the baby gets their teeth, their teeth are pushing in through those gums and it hurts. And even when teenagers are growing, they're growing fast and their knees hurt. And we as adults, when we hear the word of God and it pricks our hearts, it hurts. And we can keep kicking against it and we can keep denying it, but we'll never grow. We have to embrace it. And realize, yeah, I have something to learn. That's who I am. I have something to learn from the Word of God. I'm not perfect yet, but I look to the one who is. I trust in him. And when his Word directs me and guides me, then I need to make a correction. That is going to be good for me. And that's going to lead to growth. And so I'll surrender. And so I'll listen. Because we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We know who the Lord is. And when his messages of rebuke come to us, we know that they come to us because he loves us. And he wants the best for us. We've tasted that the Lord is gracious. He's shown us his kindness and his love, even though we did not deserve. And so with that heart of desire for the word of God, let's look in the rest of what Peter says about this stone and take to heart how we perceive the word of God and Christ Jesus our Lord as the stone that is set up, as the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone of our faith and of the church. He is a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, chosen of God, anointed by God, and precious, but disallowed indeed of men. And truly we see that in the life of Jesus, where Jesus came to his own people, the Jews, who should have been expecting him, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And he is precious, and they are chosen. And ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The Lord has sent his only begotten Son, and he is the cornerstone upon which a building is being built. It's beautiful. Peter was called a stone by Jesus, but he did not take that title to be exclusively to himself. He also says to all believers, you are also lively stones, and we are also all built up a spiritual house upon Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And we have a function, and each one is needed, just like in every building. The stones are needed. They rest upon that cornerstone, and they serve a purpose. Here the purpose is given that we would be a spiritual house, a place where men can come. And there are many buildings and many houses built for many purposes. And people can go to them and they can find all kinds of pleasures and enjoyment. They can find all kinds of entertainment. But will they find a spiritual house? That is found in the house of God. That is found among those who take the word of God as newborn babes, the desire to grow thereby, that have tasted that the Lord is gracious, that live it and share it, that makes up that spiritual house, a holy priesthood, a place of service, a place of intercession. That's what the priesthood does. They intercede for each other. They serve. They serve the Lord, and they serve men. Not to do man's bidding, but to do God's bidding. But to help man. To understand God. And to display his order. And to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What is an acceptable sacrifice to God? We see that perfectly in Jesus Christ. We see that in the way that he submitted himself unto his Father and how he endured, and we'll read that in the end of this chapter. That's what we're called to. We're called to be living sacrifices. We read in Romans, I beseech you, therefore, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To bring ourselves before the Lord and say, here I am. Here I am. I'm ready and I'm willing to serve as you direct. That is acceptable to God when we give him our all. Wherefore, Also, it is contained in the scriptures, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." This is the hope that Jesus Christ has given at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, as he declared unto the people about the kingdom of God. He concluded the message speaking about the man that he would consider wise. The one that is wise hears the words of Jesus and does them. He's the one that's likened to a man that builds his house upon the rock. And the storms beat upon that house. The rains came down, and that house stood firm. He shall not be confounded, the one that believes upon him. He will endure because he makes the word of God his foundation and his life. And it is no more man's strength. It is no more the things that are here just for a season. But it is built of better things, better materials, better substance, a life built with the word of God is the life that will endure, is the life that we need, is the life that Jesus Christ offers to us when he says, "Abide in me and I in you." Take the word. Take it to heart. Just like we take our food. We take our food, we eat it, and it becomes a part of us. It builds up our bones. It builds up our muscles. When we take the word into our hearts and allow it to live and have its effect, it becomes a part of us. But far better than the physical food, the word of God renews us and gives us life and strength that is eternal. So unto us and unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He's a precious cornerstone. And this must be first and foremost. He must be this precious stone, this foundation for our life. We must take him and depend upon him just like the building depends upon the footers upon which it's built. It doesn't lean on the dirt. Because what we're going to be asked to do is to trust him to such an extent that we give ourselves completely. As we learn more of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, we see that he is an example to us that we should follow in his steps, and that we have to surrender all. And a half-hearted faith, a half-hearted commitment will not endure. We'll see trouble ahead. We'll see sacrifice. And our tendency is going to be want to run. So let us settle it in our hearts and minds that the word of God and Jesus Christ, who has brought that word to us, would be our foundation, would be indeed precious to us for what he has done. The alternative is to be disobedient. "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." There will always be controversy and difficulty when we have a conflict about who needs to be and who is first and foremost. The word says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is the first. When we say no to that, we will fight to be first. And we will come into conflict with this stone, and it will cause us to stumble And we will not like what the word has to say because we want to be first. We want to be in charge. We want to be on top. But ours is a place to listen. Ours is a place to recognize that we are just like grass. But he is the word that endures forever. And to accept it and to believe and to find that, well, I don't get what this flesh wants in being first and getting my way. But he does grant to me everything that I need. And I can be at peace. That is far better than getting what I want for a few days and then being cast into the lake of fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. A stark choice between the preciousness of the foundation versus a despised stumbling block. Which one is the word of God to us? We have been called, beloved, as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a people upon whom God has particularly shared his love and goodness, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Jesus has said that we are to be as a city upon a hill, that men would see the good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. That they might see hearts of contentment, hearts that are satisfied, hearts that are willing to give and not just desiring to gain. And say, wow, they must have a great God and Father that they can trust and that they can be at peace. I wish I had that. He says that there was a time in the past when we were not a people. We were not the people of God. But are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I find that so, such a striking verse when we think about man's pursuit in Genesis, when it says that all of mankind was of one language and they came together and they wanted to build a tower up to heaven. And they wanted to make a name for themselves. And they had a pursuit and they were going to be able to achieve it. And they pursued becoming a people. They wanted to make a name for themselves. God confused their languages. And they left off the work. But now, God is teaching us there is a different way. There is a different way to come to the Lord and to become a people that is united in God's purpose. And it is through Jesus Christ. It is through him. Not through people with great ideas and their own name that they are pursuing, but a people that are pursuing one name, the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. That is what will unify and draw us together. And that had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In all the longings that mankind had when they were building that tower, to reach unto heaven, to draw into the heavens. Here is the true way. Here is the true way, the true life. A way of mercy and a way to be reunited with God. And truly, it's a way that's disallowed of men, but it's chosen of God and precious. So it's important to take that decision to heart. How is the word of God to us? Because as Peter continues in the rest of the chapter, he explains the need for a life that is following Christ, that is consistent with Jesus Christ. And he talks about our conversation or a lifestyle that would be honest among the Gentiles, that even when they speak evil of us, they might see a life that is good and is honest, is genuine. And that they would, you know, maybe for now they might be speaking evil. But when the day of the visitation of the Lord comes, when the day of judgment comes, they will have no excuse. That's a startling statement, that the lives of believers may be called into example on the day that the Lord returns to be a testimony of what the Lord was trying to teach. And then he says to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, and to be submissive for servants to their masters. And this goes against mankind's nature and the nature of this flesh to serve or to take wrong. If somebody speaks evil of you, somebody doesn't acknowledge or appreciate your contribution or the things that you're doing, what do you do when that happens? Do you lash out? Do I look to get what I deserve? The way to answer that question and to know whether that's the right thing to do is just to look to Jesus. Everybody wants to say that they have a particular excuse or a particular reason why they are justified in what they're doing and why they push each other away. But the word says, look to Jesus. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Christ has given his life and shed his precious blood that we might be forgiven of our sins, and also that we might follow in his victory over sin and death. And that victory doesn't come without a surrender, without dying, without laying down our life, that we might do the will of God. We are given the example in one who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. How careful we must be with our mouth and our words, and how we can cut. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He never returned evil for evil. He returned good. It says, by his stripes we were healed. By the wounds that we had given him, as mankind hung the Son of God upon a cross, that's what we gave him. But he gave us his goodness. He gave us his life. He gave us his healing and his help and his wholeness in return for our bitterness and stains. And now calls us to die to sin and live unto righteousness and live in the healing and the wholeness of one who surrenders their life to God. For ye were as sheep going astray. Ye were as that grass, mankind on his own. But now are ye returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. He calls us that he would, that foundation, the word of God in Jesus Christ, would be our foundation, would be our trust. When we take that word and that invitation, we need to know where it's going to lead. is going to lead us to Christ saying, follow me, take up your cross, die daily. If he is not first and foremost, if he is not that foundation, if we do not hear the word of Jesus Christ and obey, we'll turn away when it gets difficult. And the result of that house is a great destruction, because we knew and we didn't follow. So may the word of God speak to our hearts. May we be directed into the love of Christ, into the appreciation for what he has done, and not see anything else as something to build upon or something to trust, but to put our faith wholly in Jesus Christ and follow his precious word, and by his promise obtain that eternal life that we all long and seek after. Amen.